Tom Torero podcast number 21, live from Warsaw, Poland. It's the middle of the afternoon on a Friday. Stormy weather outside, so I've retreated to a cafe with the one, the only comrade, particularly for these Polish invasions, it's Mr. A. Good afternoon, Mr. A.
Good afternoon.
You might remember that voice. If you're a fan of the podcast, Mr. A's been on a podcast. Can you remember what the topic was or the number?
Yeah, it was on Princess Behaviour.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, the famous Princess Behaviour podcast.
Princess Behaviour podcast. And if you've seen my video from Zakopane, are you in that? No, you're not in that. We can't show your face.
Really. I'm sure I made a sort of little guest appearance, didn't I?
We had to. No, we weren't allowed to show your face.
Are you edited me out of the whole?
No, I think
the whole podcast, didn't you?
No, it
wouldn't
be
the first time.
It was a video. Do you remember me sitting by the fire?
Oh yeah, we had that wonderful location and that beautiful sort of log cabin like Zakopane ski hotel, didn't we?
It makes it sound like Brokeback Mountain. Two men in a log cabin with a roaring fire, not a girl in sight.
Crazy Polish folk music.
It was a very, very, very good holiday. Anyway, that's not the topic at all for today. The topic is something that seems like one of those universal game problems, those game nightmares, those game questions that seems insolvable. When a man asks me or emails me, or I think to myself, what's the solution for this neediness? Because at the root of most of our game problems and the Mr. Nice Guy thing, we've spoken about this many times. Obviously, it's neediness, that nagging feeling that you want to get her, you need her, you're clinging to the number that you got months ago or even years ago, or you're even worse, guys email me and say, well, I'm thinking about that girl in my office, that girl in my class that I've known for 6 years, I want her, I'm dreaming about her. And that's where, you know, the cheesy love songs and all that comes from, and all our needy behavior. So I don't need to tell you what neediness is. But we need to think of the root of neediness. So the topic of today's podcast is the root of neediness, which you could say is scarcity. That means being in the position of the seller rather than the buyer, where you're not in control, you could say, of your dating life. You haven't generated enough leads. So, i.e., you're not living in abundance. Now, abundance is one of those words that's bashed around the pickup community, and people say, oh, you just need abundance, or just go out and get abundance, or next, or people very flippantly say, well, I ditched that girl, don't worry, move on to the next one, spin more plates. That's what I say in Badass Buddha, spin more plates. But when you're sitting in your home city and doing the same old thing with the same people, it can feel very difficult to get abundance, especially if you're listening to this podcast and you're not in London or New York or Sydney. You might be in the Midwest, or you might be in a tiny Welsh village.
That's true, yeah.
Or I've met, you know, guys in tiny Cotswold villages.
Yeah, that is tricky. Yeah, that is a very good point. And I guess that you simply have to somehow renegotiate or restructure your life and your business, your career to a point, so that you're able to... basically, if I can just sort of cut to my kind of chase on my thoughts about this, is that I have sort of felt for a while now, I've learned, basically, I've sort of 16 months in this, I've learned the basics about approaching, but I haven't really had an abundance of dates or really an abundance of leads. But during the trip to Poland over the last 10 days, I felt like, you know, like the guy underneath the ice, trapped there, as I've been most of my life. And I've got, you know, and I've managed to actually, whatever I've got under there, some sledgehammer, crack the ice. And I feel like this 10 days, the cracks have appeared on the ice. I'm not through.
You're about to burst
I'm a
through.
Drowning man.
But when you do burst
drowning man,
you will be white and frozen.
Oh, my balls feel frozen. But
don't get them out.
Anyway, it's a little bit like that. And you know, guys can be really blockheaded and stubborn and donkey-like about this error, I think, because, you know, we think in a serial way rather than in a kind of a series or concurrent way, whatever they say in physics. You know, we think about one girl, then the next girl, then the next girl. You know, we think about this long series rather than having an abundance of girls all on top of one another. Now, I'm a bit of a prude. I'm not I'm engaged on a fuckathon here in Poland. That's not my style. I'm a 40s guy looking for a long-term relationship. But it's nothing stopping me getting sexual, learning skills, and basically trying to get as much dates on top of each other as I possibly can within the 2 weeks that I'm here.
So let's go back to that point of if you're living in a small town or you're in the middle of nowhere, and that's a common question, something we've all faced, even if you're not in central London. You've got a couple of choices. The instant choice that Alex and I have done now, and there's plenty of other guys visiting Warsaw who are doing it, you take a game holiday. So you set aside even a long weekend, but in Poland, there's guys here that are here for 5 days or 10 days. I just happen to be here with a student for a long time. But he's decided to immerse himself. So you remove yourself from your location, get on a plane or a bus, or you go. If you're in America, I'm afraid, guys, you've only got one option. You go to New York City. You save up your funds, whatever. It just has to be done. Even Paul Janke used to say that. If you want to get good at day game in America, you have to go to New York City. You can't be doing one approach a week in a supermarket. You need to go to New York City or come to Warsaw or go to Prague or go to Stockholm. And you need to do what RSD would call beasting, what Nick and I call number farming. You just need to generate leads. That means, number one, stopping loads of girls, way more than you normally would. Number two, collecting as many contact details as you can, Facebooks, numbers obviously, WhatsApps, emails, instant dates, and then letting them trickle through. And at the beginning of the holiday, I was chatting with Mr. A, and we were saying, oh, you know, you were saying to me, do you think it's possible to remove these kind of, these niggly, needy traits that keep surfacing, whether that's in texting or dating? And it's a very good question. Can you just instantaneously remove them? Well, I guess guys know that the answer is no, but here's the good thing about going on one of these game holidays. You can, I would say, temporarily get the feeling of being a boss, you know, being George Clooney, being a man in massive abundance, you know what I mean? It might not last, so like when we go back to London and I'm back being my lazy old self, I'm not going to have the leads that I've got here. You're not going to have the leads. Your phone's not going to be going off. I mean, Mr. A's phone is beeping every 60 seconds, you know, just from leads. There's loads of leads going on. We have no idea what's going to land, if this is air traffic control. But yeah, in Badass Buddha, I talk about, imagine air traffic control.
Yeah.
And you've got all these planes. Some of them are coming in, some of them are going, some of them you'll never see again. You don't know what the landing pattern's going to be, but if you kept doing this, one of the planes is going to touch down in Heathrow Airport.
Yeah, I mean, I think the root cause of the neediness is a lack of confidence, but the problem, that the dilemma that I think us guys face is, like, if you want to learn golf, you can get a coach, you can go down a driving range, you can buy 100 balls, and you can practice what the golf teacher teaches you on the range with the 100 balls. But then you've acquired skills, and then you become confident, and then you do it regularly enough, and you start to become good, and you have a natural confidence, and you start to hit a golf ball sweetly. The little bit of a challenge for the guy is, and what Tom's perhaps alluding to is, you know, where do you go for a driving range? Now, a game holiday can be a little bit of a driving range. Now, look, if you do gain some skills on that driving range over a long holiday, although you'll come back to your hometown and you probably won't have instant abundance around you and things will fade a little, you'll still have a really positive, what's the word, reference.
Yep.
Is that the reference point? And you will have confidence because you feel you've acquired some skills. And the problem is, unless you've got enough abundance going on, you can't practice. It's like we were saying earlier, you go down a driving range, even if you go with a great coach, with one golf ball, and you've got to hit, and he's telling you, you've got to hit that sweetly and perfectly, and you've got to drive it 250 yards.
Yep.
You know, it's probably not going to happen. But I'll tell you what, if you have 50, you probably put a good percentage of those, you know, right in the correct position. So I think what this break has given for me is an opportunity to, you know, go to somewhere completely neutral where I've got no problems, I've got no constraints on my time in the way I usually have back in London, to just sort of number farm and to set up dates. And I think I've got a date tonight. I had a date that flaked last night. I've got a date on Monday, a date on Wednesday, a potential date on Sunday afternoon. And that just gives me the opportunity to practice this stuff.
and there's going to be a comment immediately below this podcast, yeah, but it's easier in Eastern Europe. They just want to slip with you for your money. Well, if that's how you still feel, gentlemen, even after reading Torero Travels or watching Flo Mad, just come and try. The sex here is no different to in London or New York. It's just the reason we can open more here is that the normal distribution is skewed to the right in terms of hotness. So in Slavic lands, there's just more to shoot at. London is a weird mix of hot and not. So you have to sieve your way through girls in London. But remember, my first 100 lays were pretty much all in London. So don't come to Eastern Europe if you haven't got a foundation of skill. I keep nagging guys about that. There's a lot of day gamers here from all over the world, actually, at the moment. And I've chatted to most of them because they've come up to me and they haven't been getting laid or going on dates. So it's no easier here. Don't get on a plane and come to Prague without being prepared to do the work. It's just here, like Mr. A said, you can hit more balls in succession, not your own balls. That's a metaphor.
Yeah, there's something strange about going to a foreign town. I mean, I think if a Polish dude went to London, he'd probably find himself, you know, somehow being away. You've got a little bit of a holiday spirit, even if you are working remotely. And you've not got the normal constraints. You've not got the normal baggage and ideas and career and your mother phoning you up and people telling you you're not that guy or whatever goes on in your home environment. Your home
territory. Nobody knows who you are here as well.
Yeah, you're a blank canvas.
You're a blank canvas. I want to pick up on the point, does it ever go away? Right, because this is another critical question. Once you achieve some kind of abundance, is that it? Are you sorted forever? Do you walk around like a Hollywood movie star for the rest of your life? I strongly believe, from looking at other players that I know very well, the answer is no. I think you go through periods of abundance. So I've had abundance in London, 2010, 2011. A good example is our friend Dave. You know, Dave having massive abundance last summer, 5 girls in a rotation from London day game. That's right, you heard me correctly. That was in London with hot girls. And now, he won't mind me saying, I think all those 5 girls have gone. So you can go through periods of abundance and then find yourself, like I was midwinter perhaps, some of the needy behaviours resurface. So coming back to Mr. A's analogy, if you suddenly find yourself just with one golf ball on the range, all those old insecurities from texting and worrying about logistics or what am I going to do, what am I going to say, they all surface. It's like the golf swing, you'd suddenly go, oh fuck, yeah, I better not fuck this up. You'd wobble, wouldn't you? Your hands would shake, you'd be sweaty. But then as soon as I go on a big game trip, like I do with Mr. A or students, I think, right, well, I can just whack away here, no problem, you know.
Yeah, but I mean, you know what, while you're whacking, so to speak.
There's been plenty of whacking in solitude.
You know, while you're whacking, keep your eye on the ball, ha ha ha, and you're, you know, practice. Don't just be trying to get a notch up a whole number of marks on your bedpost. You know, be practicing. So, you know, when you do meet a golf ball that you just...
We're really milking this analogy.
The golf ball with a little smiley face on it that turns your world. You know, you can hit it sweetly.
And I did this morning.
And you did this morning, I can confirm this.
Not with Mr. A, I didn't hit Mr. A's golf balls this morning. But I had a good victory, and I'm not going to say the whole story. I'll save it for a book, because it's a good one. But let's say during this winter, I got a bit rusty because I was with my Ukrainian, yeah? So not much. I was doing my day game, I was doing coaching, but I certainly wasn't going crazy. And then when I did the filming in Prague with Nick, I felt a bit rusty, you know. It was early in the season for day game. I wasn't clicking properly. But because I've been doing day game straight now for the last, how many weeks? 2 weeks or something we've been here?
10 days, 2 weeks.
Maybe I've done a bit longer, yeah. I've come back and I'm like a little kid now. So I was naturally carefree. I was in the groove. And then this thing happened a few days ago with a young, beautiful lass who I bounced back and who I've been enjoying. And like I said to you, I thought, wow, this is like the pinnacle of my game, an achievement like that. I was proud of it. But would that have happened if I hadn't been feeling abundant and free and fun and light? Maybe not. If I'd been on my own and, you know, and she'd walked past in London, would I have felt that same...
Yeah,
spirit. I mean, what about this date you had last night? And you were saying you certainly didn't care.
Yeah, well, I mean, I did care a bit, but it wasn't as much as I've cared in the past. And I think we were talking earlier about, you know, the concept of accidental alpha.
Oh, great. Can you explain that?
Which is, well, I mean, it can happen quite a lot. And essentially, I mean, my, you know, first accidental alpha experience, just to give you an example, was where I went out with a very hot girl and I sort of crashed and burned the date within 40 minutes. And she stormed off. And as she stormed off, she put her head across she turned her head, but she was walking across the street and said, "You can text me if you like." And I mean, I wasn't pretending to be a player who was crashing a day earlier and telling her to piss off, but it had that effect. Now, I mean, accidental alpha happens, I think, also in the area of abundance, as it did for me yesterday. I mean, I lined up what I thought was a very strong date, and then I got, and I teed it up and cemented it in the afternoon with your usual text message saying, "I'm just running a bit busy, running 10 minutes late," and she confirmed, "Great, see you at 7:30. And then there I was, you know, with my trousers down.
That sounds so bad.
I didn't mean that's not good. With my dick hanging in the wind, I guess. How else can you put it?
Imagery is very strong, at Mr. A.
But perhaps I'm on the wrong podcast.
Yeah, save that for your other one.
I'll save that for the Soho version.
But you're saying she stood you up?
I'm saying that she stood me up. And I, you know, I was upset, but rather than spend the night crying into my beer, I got onto the phone. I made two calls to two girls, one whom answered, because I've got, as I say, a little bit of abundance in Poland. Well, more than a little bit. I reckon there's about six or seven girls knocking around at the moment.
Texting you back and forth, pinging.
Actually responding to texts. And incidentally, that's only over about 5 days of 3 hours each day approaching, 10, 15 approaches each time.
Yeah, we're nagging you here. Remember the mantra for 10 minimum each time you go out?
So, you know, I rang up these two girls, and I mean, the first one was actually moving house but wants to meet on Saturday evening. And then the other one was one that, when I flew in, it was real concrete-looking lay, basically, because we'd met twice and made out when I came to Poland in March, briefly. And, you know, she, surprise, surprise, she'd flaked at the beginning of the trip, but suddenly she was very responsive to my WhatsApping last night. Now, in the end, I didn't get her out, but I learnt a bunch about how far I could push it, and she was teetering on jumping in a taxi and coming round to my place and staying the night.
And guys only push things and go a bit crazy when they, I would say, are in abundance. Because if that had happened in London, and I've met this girl just accidentally with Mr. A, and she's lovely. If you were a guy who had no game, and you know that was your only option, she was from your work and you had been trying to game her for years, you wouldn't have taken that risk last night, perhaps, where you just think, "Oh fuck it, yeah, let's try and burn the boats."
No, I think, you know, even 2 years ago, I would have had her as the girlfriend, and I would be sending her long messages saying, "Well, I couldn't understand why she'd flaked. It felt so good. We'd seen each other a couple of times. We'd made out, and she'd, you know, blah 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 blah." But I'd been forced to let her go, really, because I was out in the streets and meeting and had other dates lined up with other girls, whom some of whom I was equally attracted to. It's never nice to lose someone who you've put a little bit of investment in, but I was very, relatively unneedy last night. And I think that the key thing is I was able to... I just always feel that if I'm learning, if I feel that I've actually learned something and a penny is dropped, then it really does sweeten the pain of rejection and you know, helps you get back out there.
Tasting this abundance is what's key, because even if after this trip, like you said, you go back home and the phone stops bleeping as much because for whatever reason in London that abundance fizzles out, you know that you had it once, you've done it once, you're a 40 plus man, like my student here is 40 plus, and you can generate abundance by going hard for a few days on number collecting. You know, it is possible. It's not some kind of Disney day game fantasy.
Yeah, I've been frankly surprised. It's helped having buddies here. I have been gaming solo, but I've always been able to meet up with Tom or his student here for a drink after the day. So that helps. But yeah, I have been surprised how much. I mean, I've never experienced this many girls texting me and me having to actually. I mean, I'm trying to work here because I'm setting up a law firm, so I work in the mornings. And I just have a lot of text to have to deal with. It's been really good practice for text game. And yesterday was interesting because, as well as ringing those two girls I've just mentioned, I also teed up two dates with two other girls. One of whom actually texts me. I said, look, I can't do Wednesday. I'm meeting a friend. And she texted me back, said, oh, you really are busy, aren't you? Because she'd actually thought that I was just, you know, pretending to be busy. But I am genuinely busy. What a better way is there of being like an accidental alpha than when you're having to tell a girl who I'm quite hot and want to see, sorry, love, I can't see you on Wednesday. I'm busy.
Well, it's like it's the fake it till you make it sales technique of going, going, gone, you know, closing down sale. That's a classic persuasion technique. Scarcity is one of the persuasion techniques that every hustler uses. But when it actually happens, you do become the BMW, you do become the Bentley. You say, well, look, if you don't want to buy it, there's loads of people that want to buy it. And this is what I've been talking to my student about, Mr. C, that you start off having to almost pretend. You know, it's classic game techniques of pretending. But we've reached a point on this trip where we're running out of... He's scheduled, like you, dates for next week. So he's got Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday. Then Thursday, we're off somewhere else. And now I said, OK, you have to double book them. That's a technique I learned from Paul Janker, where you do one at 5 o'clock and one at 7 o'clock, and you put the one who you think is most likely to come back home with you later.
Yeah.
He might have to triple book some of these days where you do a lunchtime coffee with the Christian girls and then you do a 5 o'clock and a 7 o'clock, etc. And this is no joke now, you know?
Yeah.
And like you said, you tried this out. You actually said to one of the girls on text, I am going home. This is when I'm going home. And it makes girls jump a little bit because they think, oh, shit, Mr. A really is in abundance. He's a scarce commodity. And that increases value, like I talk about in Badass Buddha. Were you going to read a text that's just come through, Mr.?
This is just kind of interesting, because I felt yesterday evening that I was like a businessman, successful businessman scheduling meetings. And she was saying, you know, she says, I say sorry for delay last night, had a busy week. How's Tuesday? She says, Tuesday's not that great. Wednesday, I say, I will get back to you tomorrow. And she says, wow, I guess you really are busy. It's not an act. And I just said quite normally, there's no gaminess here. Yeah, it's one of those things. I'm flying back next week. We could meet early evening as the other engagement is not until 8, say 5:30.
You need a secretary.
Yeah, it's the first time I've stacked dates up, two dates up in the same night. She says, thought you'd stay longer in Warsaw, so I guess we could meet. And all other days you're busy. And she agrees...
She agrees
Monday, so we're, and she says okay, then it's settled. So that process actually did bed the date down. Well, we'll see whether she turns up on Monday, but it looks quite concrete.
The great Tyler,
accidental almost,
the great Tyler from RSD recently put out something. I keep an eye on Tyler because I like his inner game stuff, and he recently just summed all this up very nice in proper Tyler style when he said, as neediness decreases, attraction increases. So if you think of it as a very simple graph, and along the x-axis you've got neediness and up the y-axis you've got attraction, she's most attracted to you when you're at your least needy. Now this is one of those catch-22 situations, because for a guy who's just getting into it or intermediate, you really want that girl, you're desperate for her, and you have to pretend that you don't. So it's one of those stupid things that you go on the date thinking, oh, I don't need this girl. But in your heart, you're thinking, oh, my God, this is my shot at glory, you know. So you've got to do the whole leaning back and not being a chode and teasing her and all that. But the more relaxed you can be, which is what's happening here, and the more dates you can go on, the more girls you can bring into your life, rather than faking that, you will eventually go on a date. And this is why I think I got the skill this morning. I genuinely do, because I've been living in a bit of cool abundance for the last 5 days. It went a bit crazy. And then suddenly this girl comes just at the right time when I didn't have to fake it.
Yeah.
And she must have thought, well, this guy really is got a lot going on. And he can only see me on this day. Do you know what I mean? It's one of those weird, frustrating things of game that, for sure, if you're a movie star, you're a lucky bastard, because you can choose any girl. And that does make you cocky. And that does make you walk with your shoulders back.
Yeah.
And that does make you cocky funny. But for us guys who are not the movie stars.
We're yet to walk down the red carpet.
Yeah, to get that grade of girl, you have to show them that you are this non-needy guy. So I do understand that it's, in the beginning, a super frustrating thing, isn't it?
It's such a paradox, isn't it? But that's just a problem with your mind, overthinking it.
Yep.
In actuality, I was needy, looking for experiences, trying to fake it and make it. And at the moment, I've got a problem. I've got to get ready for a date at 6, and I'm thinking, oh, I've got to get ready for another fucking date.
Yeah. So all the niggles, these are the questions that I receive, usually on email, because their guys are overthinking, panicking, worrying about that one girl that they met in Starbucks 9 months ago. You know, but Tom, how can I text her? What should I text her? What should I wear? What should I say? How should I be less needy? It's one of those stupid answers that I just say, you've got to go out and get more leads. And I know that if you live in a weird, a smaller place, that's tough. But the answer's pretty simple, in that you need to go out and get more leads. So we're talking about abundance coming from this lead collection. Let me see how we're doing on the time. We've got about 3 minutes to go, Mr. A, so we'll probably leave the second half.
Do a little bit of a teaser or a trailer for...
Yeah, okay, well, before you go home, no, but before you go home next week, we're going home roughly, we're leaving here at the same date, so we'll get together for that podcast.
Yeah, I think that's quite interesting for the more mature, vintage class of day gamer.
Sounds like a section in a pawn shop, you know, mature.
Why do you sexualise everything? Well, that's a stupid question to ask a pickup.
Because I'm touching your leg, Mr. A. And Mr. A's entitled the next podcast, Too Late Mate?
It's copyrighted, that title, by the way.
Yep, I've already podcasted it, which means it's empire. There will be a product coming out. Oh shit, he's a lawyer. Quickly, someone sign this piece of paper. But we're going to be talking specifically to the guys who are, well, I'm 35, so let's say 35 plus, but specifically 40 plus. My student at the moment, how old's Mr. C? 40?
Yeah, he's
45?
Late 40s, isn't he?
Late 40s.
Mid 40s, late 40s, I think.
Can we say how old you are?
Yeah, I'm in mid to late 40s.
I like what you did there. Mid to late 40s. So that's it. There's so many guys.
I'm a, you know, 48-year-old guy. But, you know, last week I approached a girl who I thought was 25. She turned out to be 17. I took the number, continued with the set. It was such a great interaction. But, so, you know, it made me think, oh, perhaps I'm not quite as old as I think I am.
No, we should point out most of the dates that you're going on in the next few days I have been on, they're all like early mid-20s girls. We're not talking about 50-year-old women here.
No, they're mid-20s, university students plus, and 30-something. I think I've been a bit up my own arse about not approaching younger girls because I think it's creepy. But what am I doing? I'm just going on dates with these girls. So if they don't want to come, they don't have to come. Anyway, I think the really interesting thing is, we were talking about it earlier, is that when you reach a certain age, perhaps you start to get, you know, a little bit cluttered up with a bunch of ideas you've held on to for the last 20 years of your life, and something of a deconstruction needs to take place, like, you know, the robot monster in Terminator or whatever. Before you can reconstruct yourself, you kind of need to deconstruct yourself to a point. Not a problem that the younger guys often deal with. The older guys like to pretend they haven't got, you know, I'm not saying major psychological issues like we need
Freudian therapy.
But guys have got challenging areas of their life, and they may have just been, basically, it's just simply a bit like golf, to go back to the analogy. I got it back. Back to golf. No. Let me finish my golf analogy. A little bit like golf. If anyone's played golf, you can get into bad habits by practicing the wrong thing for too long. But with a good coach and with a bit of abundance, you can cure yourself of those bad habits.
Mr. A, you should have worked for BBC Continuity.
All right.
That was lovely. That was podcast 21 coming at you from high above the streets of Warsaw, Poland. What a delightful place this is. Before you all invade, we should say that there are hot... I've got to whisper here because there's birds around. There are hotter places. I would go to Prague, Bratislava, the good old Ukraine, obviously the land of glory in Moscow, Belgrade, Croatia, even Stockholm. But here's a good place. You could call it Seven Heaven. It's a good place to practice on the old sevens. But there's about 10 day games at the moment in town. It's quite funny. They come from all corners of the globe, which is a nice thing, but it's turned into a bit of an Oxford circus. But anyway, good old Warsaw. Thank you, Mr. A, for contributing, and I hope you're going to be on the next one. Otherwise, I'll have to put that out as a product too late, mate.
Don't forget my caveats about copyright for purposes of this for this podcast.
All right, we'll record the next one on a golf course. Yeah. Over and out. Goodbye.
Goodbye.